Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Motorsport Magazine, for the very best of motor racing.
sorry, I was just about to do my good morning Vietnam and I decided again.
Did we take two on that?
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you happen to be in the world, and welcome to the second Motorsport Audio Pod... We'll go again, love, shall we? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you happen to be in the world. And welcome to the second of our Motorsport Magazine audio podcasts. If you missed the first one, well, we're here to talk about anything, really, to do with motor racing and to say exactly what we think, which makes a refreshing change from most people who talk about motor racing. I'm Rob Widdows, and with me today is our editor-in-chief, Nigel Roebuck, our editor, Damien Smith, and Ed Fuster, who puts these podcasts together for us, so many thanks to him. Anyway, let's get underway. And we've had lots and lots of questions from you, the reader, which is good, because that's what we want. And later in the programme, we'll be answering as many of those questions as we can. But we're going to start, of course, as you might expect, with the terrible accident that befell Felipe Massa in the Hungarian Grand Prix. And thankfully, it appears that he's going to be okay. But perhaps the biggest news that came out of that was the return of, yes, you might have guessed it, Michael Schumacher. And I've just been away on a week's holiday on an island in the Ionian Sea, and everybody is talking about Michael Schumacher, let me tell you. So let's start with Nigel Roebuck. Nigel, surprised?
Yes, I was, simply because, as much as anything, because immediately after Massa's accident, as soon as speculation began about who would drive the other car, Willy Weber was absolutely emphatic that, you know, whatever else, it would not be Michael. And normally, you know, certainly in the past, whatever Willy said, you could take as read with regard to Michael. So, yeah, from that point of view, I am. From another point of view, I'm not, because I think he's... I haven't had the impression he's been sort of totally bored the last 2.5, 3 years, but at the same time, you know, whenever he's driven a car, he's been immediately quick. And the fact that he's riding superbikes and that sort of thing all the time, he obviously still hasn't lost his sort of, desire to go fast. So... And it's irresistible. And Massa's his friend as well. So, in a way, it all fits.
Damien Smith, what was your reaction to the news?
Excitement. I think the reason, you know, that Michael Schumacher, whatever you think about him, and there's very good reasons to be cynical about the man and his legacy. He is an incredible racing driver. And it's always fascinating to see someone come out of retirement and come back in. We had it with Niki Lauda back in 82. And we had it with Mansell, of course, coming back with first with Williams. And then that's a debacle at McLaren. This case is fascinating because Ferrari just coming into a nice vein of form after the Hungary result. Schumacher, despite being 40, still looks in pretty good shape. Probably not as good a shape as he used to be, obviously, because he's not doing the amount of training he used to. He's got an injury from a motorbike accident as well from earlier in the year. But he'll be in reasonable shape. And it's just going to be fascinating to see how he gets on and also see what effect it has on Kimi Raikkonen. And we expect the Finn to have, you know, no visible reaction because he doesn't have a visible reaction to anything. But I'm sure if Michael's a tenth up on him in Q2 in Valencia, it'll suddenly affect him then.
Ed Fuster, how about you? I mean, I've said before, you are the youngest man on this crew, and I mean, he is a 40-year-old, 7 times world champion coming back to Formula One. Would you rather see a new young star than a returnee?
I think it's absolutely great. I mean, I said to Damien when I first heard the news, I said this is the sort of best news we've had all year in Formula One. It's the biggest news. And even me, I sort of grew up when he was, you know, winning all his championships and things like that. And he's absolutely amazing. I mean, you know, to have this much draw when you haven't been racing for 3 years and to make this comeback. And as you were saying, you know, everyone even in Greece talking about it, it's great. And, you know, what a PR stunt for the sport. It's, you know, they, Formula One is certainly very good at creating PR for itself. Sometimes it's worse than it should be, but this is brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just briefly, I thought if Schumacher was going to come back, he'd come back with Ross Brawn next season, but we'll see what happens. Nigel, we've had a question. Alistair Warren, I like this one, it's good. Alistair wants to know, where is Michael Schumacher going to park his car during qualifying in Valencia?
Well, I think he probably isn't going to park it anywhere in Valencia, because I don't expect him to be sort of fairly comfortably on the pole with 2 minutes to go. Which were the circumstances in Monte Carlo. It'll be interesting, actually, to see if, you know, if Michael has taken on board. There appears to have been a sea change in the behaviour of the FIA stewards since he left, because with, you know, with relative impunity all those years, you know, Michael gave umpteen drivers the choice between backing off and going off the road. And that sort of behaviour seems not to sit terribly well with this generation of, in my opinion, rather nanny state stewards. I think before, you know, they weren't tough enough. There were certainly times with Senna and Schumacher when they should have taken serious action against them, and they didn't. They went completely unpunished. Now, I think it's gone absurdly the other way, and the tiniest little thing is punished. So, you know, we'll see if Michael is still as committed as he was, and if he behaves the same way, and if he does, how it will go down with the stewards. I'm fascinated.
He's obviously got a lot of things going for him. He is the most successful Formula One driver of all time. But do you think it's too much for him to come back? I mean, you know, he's been out of the sport for 3 years. We've just seen Jenson Button do this triathlon and seen the level of fitness that these guys are at. I mean, you know, he's only got a month to get up to fitness. I mean,
yeah, he has. But, I mean, I think, you know, I think there have been occasions when one hasn't necessarily been convinced that his teammate was, you know, in prime condition, and he's survived all right. So I think Michael has remained super fit. The biggest thing is going to be the neck, because quite often at the end of the winter break, when they start testing again in January, a lot of the drivers say the first night or two, you know, in the evening, they have trouble, you know, moving their head very much. So that's going to be his biggest problem. But I think, you know, knowing Michael, he'll cope. He'll get round it.
Let's move on then, because we haven't got all the time in the world, sadly. But we're going to stay with Formula One, because there's so much going on. I mean, Damien, Nelson Piquet Jr., Sebastian Bourdais, both dropped by their teams. BMW pulling out. Renault not taking part, as we gather, or as we expect, in Valencia. There's a lot going on, isn't there? What was your view of Piquet and Bourdais being dropped?
No great surprise. Everyone could see it was coming. And it's harsh on drivers to get dropped mid-season. With Piquet's case, he had a clause in his contract where he had to score 40% of Alonso's points to keep the drive. He hadn't got anywhere near that. He says there's reasons. You know, very outspoken stuff against Briatore, his manager, after all. Which is quite refreshing, actually, to hear a driver be so frank. But the bottom line for me is that he just hasn't done enough to keep his drive. I don't think he's done enough. There's been a lot of spins and incidents, and he simply hasn't been quick enough. So he's got a very good record in the junior stuff, in the junior formulas. You know, in GP2, he was Hamilton's biggest rival. He's clearly not a bad racing driver, but he hasn't looked good in the Renault, and I think it's best for all round to have a fresh start. And because there's no testing this year, that's hurt him, and it's also hurt who will replace him, because if Romain Grosjean comes in, he'll have no running in the car at all, same as Alguersuari in Hungary. So the team almost have to use this end of the season to try out a new talent, and it's almost like testing at the races.
Nigel, what about you? I mean, Bourdais, Piquet, them just not quick enough?
I wouldn't them both in the same boat. I think as far as Bourdais is concerned, if you think back to Monza last year when Vettel won his first Grand Prix in the Toro Rosso in the rain and from pole position, Bourdais had qualified on the second row in the other Toro Rosso, and at the start he couldn't take the start, I think, because car wouldn't fire up or whatever. So his Italian Grand Prix was over before it began in terms of results. But I remember Gerhard Berger telling me later that, in fact, Bourdais drove an almost identical race to Vettel, but nobody noticed. And I remember at the end of last year, when we were having lunch to discuss the season for a motorsport feature, and I was talking to Martin Brundle about it, and he just said, well, I think, you know, you cannot drop anybody who is capable of being as quick as Vettel in the same car on the same day. So I know the results haven't come this year.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I mean, the Toro Rosso team has been a shadow this year of what it was last. But I think there's a fundamental quality in Bourdais. I know he moans sometimes, and he is one of those drivers the car has to be absolutely right for him to give his best. But I think I could see more in Bourdais than I ever could in Piquet. I mean, I never really saw an awful lot in Piquet, even before he came to Formula One, quite honestly. I remember in GP2 when Hamilton annihilated him in Hungary, did a fantastic comeback drive. And, you know, Nelson's response was to have the car protested, to have Lewis's car, because it wasn't conceivable that anybody could have beaten him. And I just have always had the impression of Piquet that he has the sort of trappings and behaviour of someone who's won the World Championship five times, you know, five times before he has actually done anything. To moan that he hasn't had the same equipment as Alonso sometimes is absurd. I mean, neither did Kovalainen. In Germany, for instance, there are new bits for a car, and only one lot. They go to the fastest driver. There's no discussion there, and it's always been the same. So I think moaning is not probably the best thing he could have done.
We ought to touch briefly on BMW pulling out as from the start of next season. Ed, does this kind of thing bother you much? I mean, there'll be another team, presumably.
Yeah, I mean it does, because it's, you know, BMW is a big manufacturer with a you know, very good history in motorsport. I think after last year, when they put all their efforts into this year's car and it didn't work out, I think the writing was slightly on the wall. You know, this was their big chance to, you know, make a real go of it, and it didn't work out. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens to Kubica and Heidfeld. I mean, I think Heidfeld's going to struggle to get into another top team, but there are, you know, next year there will be a lot of other teams that will need a, you know, an experienced hand guiding to where they go. But Kubica, I suggest, is going to be snapped up by a team pretty quickly. Where he goes, I don't know, but it'll be interesting, and it'll be good to see him back in a quick car. I mean, you know, this year he's, you know, you don't hear anything about him. He's been struggling in the back of the grid, doing nothing. I personally think he's one of the quickest drivers on the grid.
Okay, let's try and cover a few of our questions from you. That's you out there, by the way, our readers, our listeners. Santiago Fernandez, hope I've got that one right. Diego Sanchez, Alistair Warren, well, we've had one of yours, Alistair. Dan Ryan, all of you anyway, Valisk, whoever you are. Many of you are talking about the FIA, which actually doesn't really excite me terribly much, but I know that Damien will have a view on this. I mean, nobody seems to want Jean Todt to be the president of the FIA. Everybody seems to want Ari Vatanen to get the job. What's your view on it?
Well, Ari said himself that if you want change, then he's your man. Unfortunately, none of us have any influence on the running of the sport. It's down to the members of the FIA. and the ASNs of every country that vote for the president. So it doesn't really matter what we think in a way, because it's down to what those men in Paris think. But I think it's time for a change, isn't it? From all the dramas we've had and the controversies we've had in the last few years, Mosley's legacy is always going to be sullied by the controversies, not just the personal life stuff either. And I guess Vatanen represents that. He represents a freshness, a fresh approach. Everything he said so far sounds encouraging. But the problem he has is that the system favours the current president to have a successor that gets in with this 22-man cabinet system they have, where they have to name this cabinet, and that every single person on that cabinet cannot be a member of the other cabinet for a rival nominee. So Ari has to get together those 22 people and put forward a case between now and October, and it's going to be very, very difficult for him to break the stranglehold that Mosley stroke Todd has. So not exactly optimistic.
No, nor I, I'm afraid. And I think it's interesting, actually. Carlos Gracia, who is the chair, I think the boss of the Spanish Federation, came out with a quote that quote, Max would be even more mad if he were to back Sean Todd. And he then went on to say, because we all know where he came from and everything else. And I think the interesting thing is that you know, if there's a team in the paddock that does not want to see Jean Todt elected as FIA president, well, then none of them do, but more than most, Ferrari don't. So I think that's interesting. And I think there is just an impression that Todt has been groomed for a long, long time now to succeed Max as and when Max chose to stand down. And I think, you know, there have been such massive changes at the FIA over the course of the last 20 years in terms of how things are done and how people are elected and so on. And I've thought Max's FIA press release announcing he was standing down, the second part of it, in effect telling the FIA member clubs, right, I'm going, so this is the guy you vote for now, I thought that was absolutely shameful. You know, it still amazes me that he had even Max had the crust to do that.
And Rob, the reason why we're wary of Todd is because of our own experiences with him. Nigel's written in the current issue of the magazine about, you know, the famous example Austria 2002 and the ordering Rubens Barrichello to give up the win to Michael and to the A1 ring, and it's Todd's reaction was just so cold,
clinical, nasty.
It was a complete lack of understanding of why the crowd and the press were so angry.
I don't think he gives a damn about the crowd, or
But the point is, this is accusation has been hurled at Max enough times that he actually doesn't give a damn about the sport. And in point of fact, I've always had the impression, if anything, he's always been rather bored by motor racing, frankly. But I think Todd's actions have often given the impression that sport. What's that got to do with it? We don't want that.
None of us who can do joined up writing and can think for more than a minute at a time want Jean Todt to be the president of the FIA. I mean, what's your view?
Yeah, and I think Ari Vatanen certainly would be a fresh start. The problem is that it's this sort of problem we have of some countries. Every country has the same power, whereas some countries will have absolutely no history of motorsport and no motorsport in the country at the moment. Have the same power as someone like France or the US or Britain, and someone like that can sway all the important votes. And I think if we got Vatanen in, well, if he got in, then a lot of that might change, and we could see, because I do believe he has the best interest of the sport at heart, and he's a competitor, and he's been involved in it since he started rally, and he loves it, which is a lot more than Todd does. I don't think he loves the sport at all.
An interview coming up in the next issue with Ari that Adam Cooper's done for us at one of the Grand Prix, and Adam's impressions were very favourable. It's interesting that first impressions he does very well, does Vatanen, so it'll be interesting to see if he can build any kind of momentum behind a campaign.
Very, very briefly, my view is that the FIA is so much more than motor racing, so much more than Formula One. And we're coming into and are in some ways in the most difficult period for the car industry that perhaps we've ever faced. So let's hope somebody runs the FIA who can be helpful there as opposed to just the Formula One paddock.
I wouldn't say the FIA has been terribly helpful at the Formula One paddock, Rob.
No. I wouldn't either, Nigel, but I think there's a much broader worry, as far as I'm concerned, over the FIA than just F1. But anyway, it's time to stop, which seems a shame. But before we go, perhaps I should just say to all of you out there that if you have any views on how long all of us should be talking for on these podcasts, perhaps you'd let us know, because we're quite happy to sit here for a while longer and talk about motor racing. I mean, I think all of us, that's you out there and us, we can talk about motor racing for as long as you like. It's all we talk about most of the time, I think. And certainly Nigel Roebuck has some outspoken views, so that's always good to hear as far as I'm concerned. When we see you next, will be the Tuesday, the 1st of September, so that's approximately a month's time. We will have had plenty of racing by then, and probably plenty of other shenanigans as well. So there'll be lots to talk about. Hope you can join us on the 1st of September. Do send us in your questions. We won't have time to answer them all, but we definitely want to see them. So it's goodbye from us until then. Thanks very much for joining us. If you do have questions, just log on to motorsportmagazine.co.uk and see you in September.
Motorsport Magazine, for the very best of motor racing.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.